Matthew's Gospel 28, we're looking at how to nurture, cultivate, and have effective relationships. In Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18 to 20, where we began our text, of course, there's Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed, which we're going to take the B part of the series. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, it says, even unto the end of the world. And we said that the responsibility of the church is to ensure that we are mature, and that maturity is going to come by discipleship. I said a few of things in the morning, earlier in the morning, that without being a disciple, you cannot grow. A disciple is a student, someone who learns, not someone who is merely excited, oh, what a great service, and all of that. And it's not born out of excitement, even though we have inspiration and all of that. Discipleship is born out of decision and an everyday commitment to God's word. It's not about saying, hey, hallelujah, wow, what a service. I told you many times, when people say that service was not lively, you say, why? The reason why the service was not full of the Holy Ghost was because it looked boring. They were just opening the Bible. You know, I'm looking for, the man of God was not connecting with me. Because you look like a fan that they must connect. You have to be entertained. No. Disciples don't live on entertainment. They grow on the teaching of God's word. That's why verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And I told you the same thing. Somebody just shout, hey, ah! Some people are just like that. Hey, tell them! Hey! Hey! This one! You know, I recall one of the classes I took in one Bible school like that. There's this guy that's always shouting, as though he has something in his throat. Wow, just, hey, God! Oh, God! The revelations. We now did a simple test. To score him zero is to walk alone. That is, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Give him zero. Mercy prevailing over judgment. But there are people like that. Just excited. I showed you an example. Let's look at it in Luke 11. Jesus experienced it too. As he's preaching, the guy was shouting, Luke 11:27. Blessed is the womb. The guy shouting, the woman, sorry. That's strange. The body and the powers that you are so hey, say, see what? See teaching. See grace. Jesus answered and said, cool down. You rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and what? Keep it. That's what we say in Yoruba, Ela. Well, Ela is the Greek word that means shut up. So basically, you know, it's a function of you listening well and then you acting on the word. Discipleship means that we become clones of Jesus Christ, even though his examples are in men. We become his clones. His thoughts become our thoughts. And we said earlier today that you don't want the scriptures to agree with you. You agree with the scriptures. You are not to have the scriptures agree with you and say, how is that possible now? No, some people have such boldness. The scriptures are meant to shape how you see things. And earlier today we looked at how you ought to see people is in the eyes of the word. You ought to see people through the eyes of God's word. That's how you ought to see people. Through the eyes of God's word. So God's word shapes the way you think. And I said earlier that, you know, like if you go for relationship seminars sometimes, not most of the time, the last time I was in one, I can't remember, maybe in the 90s. And I didn't say in my 90s. It's important to state that clearly. You know, I remember, at the end of the day, you discover that whenever you come to subjects like this, people think that I need to go to the world. And then I start hearing things like, you know, your makeup, you know how you are wired. You know, you are wired. The way they wired you, and the electrician that put the wire there, he has wired you differently. Check your husband. How is he wired? He's wired differently. You know, he gets angry easily. You know you can take the anger. So you wait till when his anger is done, then you take your own. You know, and you hear all such submissions. And at the end of the day, you are not hearing God's word. It looks cool, because oftentimes they will resonate with your experiences. Hey, now you are talking. Because the person is no longer talking God's word, he's now talking. Do you get it? Because it resonates with your experience. No. The word of God is above your experiences. It's from the word that you now start judging your own experiences. And say, was that experience even scriptural? If it's not scriptural, then you make adjustments. So far we have said that Christianity, therefore, is a relationship we have with the Father, that is the resurrection, is a relationship with God, either in the form of a marriage, form of a neighbor, in form of a king and subjects, in form of a nation and its citizens. Ephesians 2:18 says, by one spirit we have access to one Father. And it says that we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we are now citizens of a nation. 1 Peter 2:9, we are chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. That's what we are. And a peculiar people from Exodus 19 verse 5 and 6. So that's what the gospel means to us. It's a relationship. What else are we? He's our Lord. We are His servants. It's a relationship. It's a marriage. It's also brotherhood. Hebrews 2:11. He that sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. John 20:17, go and tell my brethren, I go to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. So that's obvious that there is a relationship in the gospel. The resurrection does not just produce a relationship. The resurrection itself is a relationship. I told you all this morning, when you hear heaven and earth, if you have been following our studies for years now, we said heaven is not where you go to when you die. Heaven is God's place in the earth. Anywhere God is called heaven. And so the believer can be so called. And wherever God works is called heaven. That's why the word huranios, epuranios, and all of that. We've done that study before. If you don't understand this, you can get any of our teachings that are there. So when it says heaven and earth is given to me, is again talking about that relationship, that union between God and man is found in me. That's what it means. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. There means that relationship of God and man is found in me. So I asked the question. I said, what therefore is the highest form of relationship or the highest expression in relationships? And this is something you should think about. Now people think that Jesus did not get married because he didn't want to have sex. That doesn't make any sense. Sex is not a sin. Okay? But the truth is, well, let's leave that aside. We'll come to it, I believe so, in this series. But if you ask, what was Jesus the most in his relationship generally, he was a friend. So, friendship is a high level of relationship. I don't want to say the highest form so that I won't be misquoted. A high level of relationship. And so in the earlier today, we looked at, you know, how to see people in the eyes of God. We saw that from God's word. If God has cleansed the person, you don't say he's uncommon. We saw that in the first service. We also mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6:14 where Paul said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, heterozygotes, that is, don't merge two unlikely things together. There's nothing common between you and an unbeliever for you to say we like each other. The only thing you can find in that is, we said, is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Remember that? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And there's nothing common. You know, there's nothing common. It's like saying, a fish and a lion, they love each other. Where are they going to live? Do you understand? One has to either become a fish, or the other becomes a lion. So in relationships, we have to understand that there is, what is common is vital. Pay attention. So I said also, you must not allow relationships suddenly happen to you. You mustn't allow relationships suddenly happen to you. You must do a relationship check and say, okay, what is this about? Generally. And that's why it's odd today. You now find Christians hear that a brother suddenly proposes to them under click lights with a ring coming out, and people are kneeling down and shouting, and you wonder, how many movies do you want to act in your life? You have started like this. You start your entire life with a drama. So all your life, you are going to be living before the world, before cameras. That's a miserable life. So you follow God's word and say, okay, what manner of relationship is this? And so we said, in friendship, you need to learn to choose your friends. John 15, learn to choose your friends. John 15. Somebody once asked the question, can I be your friend? I said, I'll find out. You know, it's not about proposal. It's not a proposal where you kneel down and bring out a ring. I will find out. So, friendship, we said, is something you must be deliberate about. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That's vital. Just put that somewhere. Wherefore, I call you not servants, for the servants knows not what the Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. Let's take 16 together. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So, in other words, you choose. Friends are people that you choose. You have to choose the friends. So scriptures will guide you, just like you have to choose your spouse. You have to choose those you partner with. Scriptures are there to guide you. You see them in the eyes of God's word, primarily speaking. And in fact, some people are used to going to someone as a medium. Want to get married and your mother says, give me his name. Or give me their names. And you go there and say, there's one prophet. The prophet who was, this one. For this one. And people are usually guided like that. I was so surprised that someone that I ought to respect, I should still respect, told me that this happened, then the aunt came, said this and this, and what do I do? I said, about what exactly? He said, about what you told her, what she told you, or what the prophet said. He said, what do I do about what the prophet said? I said, go and marry the prophet. I mean, how would you have God's word? And that has happened. Even going to your pastor, We're not on that yet, but we're going to get there. If you go to your pastor, you still go get back to God's word. No pastor should pick such for you. You know, and your choices are a function of your values. I remember years ago, my dad, this is a bit of a family thing, but I'll say it because it will bless you. My dad and my brother had this fight over his friends. And my dad was all over, no, you cannot be, that one cannot be your friend. And he was really going about it the very wrong way. He mentioned how, and all that. He said they were, the friends were drinking. Of course, because I was the man of God. So I said, but your friends still drink now. He said, but I don't drink. My father never drank. I said, you don't drink. That's not the issue. Your friends drink. And I'm not sure they started drinking when they were in their 50s. He said, you're right. I said, so you have not even showed an example of what you are talking about. There's only one very bitter truth that he told me that he had never heard that version before. I said, after he was saying, no, he can't be his friend. In fact, my brother's friend was Jason. He said, Jason cannot be his friend. And all that. And I said, sit down. Let me give you counsel. Did he choose you? He said, what do you mean? Did my brother choose you as a father? He said, no. Exactly. How are you sure that he was given a choice, he will have chosen you? He said, which one are you saying now? I said, no, I just want you to understand something. He didn't choose you. Right? I said, but that guy, he's his own choice. He will fight for it. He will deceive you if you don't understand what I'm saying. You know, you have a way of keeping a friend that is not kept. Sir, you come home early. Well, you have done what has been done. He says, so wait. What you ought to work on are his values. Doing draconian rule. And this my brother then was in his second year in university. I don't know how. His witchcraft. If somebody is over 18 and you want to tell the person such things, that's witchcraft. At that point, you start to persuade. Yes. Sit down. Let's have a conversation. Persuasion. Amen. It's a tough one, right? And don't get excited, too. Some of you say, I'm even in my late 20s, if you like, being your ex-20s. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, basically, at that point, you sit down and say, you are not the boy's choice. You are not sure. I said, the honest truth is that if they put Abiola down on you, do you think he would choose you over Abiola? You don't know Abiola. Okay, let's say Dangote of then. He will choose you from the way I see my brother. He will choose Dangote over you. Because he won't have to be submitting to books list. He won't have to be submitting his request list. But you will say, what is this one for? So you rather have it Dangote than say, anyone. She looked at me and said, I understand what you are saying. So relax. It's his values that you should look at. And be persuasive. God did not stop Adam. As simple as that. Understand it. So, I say his friends are his choice. We have to look at why and how did he make such choices. Because we are all a product of what? Influence. Are you following what I'm saying? So friends are people you choose. And therefore we said that when Paul says do not be unequally yoked together, that is when you are learning from each other. That's the yoke there. Such that you are deriving your values from someone. You are thinking like the person. And you are now... And we looked at those words, what communication, what partnership, what metoche, those different words, symphonio, those words that have to do with when two people are blending into each other. So Paul was really talking about those that are your inner caucus, people that you refer to easily, they refer to you easily. He says, no, you have to watch it. And so we said, Jesus had the multitude. Let's even start like this. He first of all had his immediate family. Which is, when I study social studies, they said that is your first social, is it social unit or what? Is it socialization unit? So, is it a family? Then he had the crowd. Okay? Now, unfortunately, until the last day, nobody in his immediate family were his friends. Unfortunately. So it means that it is not automatic. Nobody. In fact, one time when they came for second service, I didn't allow them to enter because they were late. They told Jesus in the pulpit that your mom is outside and your brothers. He said, those who came early. Oh, you understand my parable. Anyway, so he said, so the siblings were not even his mom. So among the multitudes, no. Then he chose, there was now a 70. Luke 10. There was a 12. Then a 3. Then 1. He must be able to make that kind of distinction. Oh, my friend told me something. He said that you told us one single story within the space of 5 years. I told them one story. I've not finished telling them the story. In five, if you have observed, there are some things I talk like that over the years. Then I'll add one more to it. So you actually relate the way we preach. I say exactly. What you don't need now, I won't tell you. I know where I stopped in my story. I know where I will take it up again. Deliberately. Because you have to be deliberate in your relationship. You cannot be loose. Pay attention. We'll come to something shortly. Now, obviously it is obvious that the crowd did not have the information of the 70, right? The 70 didn't have the information of the 12. The 12 didn't have the information of the 3. And the 3 didn't have the information of the 1. Now, in the midst of that, we now found a fellow called Judas. That name is not popular. The guy, you know, that when they spoil a name, they will spoil a name. It becomes a name below every name. They will just spoil the name. So you say, Now can you name yourself Pharaoh? I didn't say Pharaoh, I said Pharaoh. So, a man like Judas, we looked at it, was a friend that Jesus chose. And he knew it. And Jesus showed himself as a true friend. He loved him. He cared for him. He taught him. He showed him Yahweh. Showed him who God was. But look at what Judas did. Judas is the kind of person you must not reproduce. I'll rather stop being your friend than betray you as a friend. I'll let you know we are no more friends. That is very rare. Than to now be your friend and be the access point to how you either be brought down, exposed, or ridiculed. I showed you something in the morning and I'm going to elaborate that whenever you see somebody highly respected, honored, suddenly being disrespected, there's somebody around him who has chosen to expose him in that light. You know, Yorubas have a saying. They say a lizard cannot enter except there's a crack in the wall. That is just as basic as it's a scriptural fact as well. So, you have this Judas who was he's not even in the crowd. He's not in the 70. He's in the 12. Who, according to Peter, were with him from the baptism of John till the end. In and out. This is a Jesus that they couldn't go and capture at some point. They were afraid to go and arrest him. But he went to meet them. Now, the truth is that, how did they know he was a person? He must have shown signs of independence. You see, friends are not people that show their differences with you publicly. A friend can disagree with you privately. But when you are outside, people will think that you never disagree. That is a friend. So he must have shown something publicly that made them say, this is the right guy. I like him. He's a man of his own. I like this guy. He cannot be manipulated. And you say, your head is also swelling like gari and water. I can't manipulate it. They are manipulating you. I can't be manipulated. Yes. And they approached him. Of course, he has a price. And then he came to Jesus, and this is the key word we saw, Matthew 26:47. You can see these references also in Luke 22:48, Mark 14:44-45. But Matthew captures it in detail. He explains what betrayal is. It's not a mere text message, no. It's more than that. Look at what he did. He came with them to Jesus at night. Number one, he knew where he was. He knew where he was. Those who know where you are, you know where you will be. Then he came with a sign of a friend. He told them, when I kiss him, you will know him. Go and hold him. He says, then he went to him and said, hey, master. Then he kissed him. So betrayal will always have deception and compromise. You'll have to deceive. You have to lie. You have to pretend. These are the things that he has done. And Jesus answered him, friend, where are you coming from? A friend should never ask you this question because a friend should know you. But where are you coming from? Where have you been? And then they took Jesus. He kissed him just like a friend. And he fulfilled Psalm 41:9, what David had said years before. Let's take it together. Psalm 41:9. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Psalm 41:9. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Let's go. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Even cultural people, Yoruba people say, when you eat somebody's pepper, and you eat his food, that's exactly what David is saying. That's what Judas has done. Said he lifted up his heel against me. You can say, well, I'm not the one that did it. I only told them something. You are worse than what they have done. So every time you get close to someone, two things you can be to those people. You can be their shield and you can be the access to their lives. Two things. There are two things you can be to people when you are close to them. You can be their shield, which is what a friend should be, right? You can also be the access to their lives. I once counseled a couple that eventually got divorced. And then the wife, ex-wife, now, you know, she came to me. Of course, the husband wasn't in the country and she told me a lot of things and all that. She said so much about the guy who had known. A lot of stories. She said a lot of stories about 10 years ago now. So a lot of stories. And I said, well, the honest truth is I've not seen this guy 10 years before. I said, so I only listen to you because you are his wife. I will not believe anything you have said till I see him. And he wasn't in Nigeria. I said, whenever I see him, say, hey, but you can call this person me. I'll take my phone and call this person me. But you know me now. She said, I do. I said, no. I'll wait. I said, if I wait, heavens will not crash if I don't do anything. Eventually, you know, I mean, this is a wife. She had told, of course, the guy ran into trouble, and she had told many people about that trouble, this private thing. So I said to her, when she told me, because of this, I said, well, he's even more patient with you. So what do you mean? I will have sent you bye-bye with a text message. Why would you be someone's wife and you are the first person who goes to the world to talk about him that way? Not something he did well. I said, it's not right. Eventually the guy remarried. I'm not endorsing that. Or married somebody who was there when he was in trouble and told nobody. That is just simple. You have not qualified to be a good friend. It's a simple thing. Don't think, no, there's nothing evil in that. You can be good to other people, but to that person, you are not his friend. It's a simple thing. You're not his friend. And for me as a person, and I do this generally, not just ministry, I withdraw from those who betray people, generally. It's too heavy. Because you cannot talk about redemption story without the devil and evil. You can't have that story complete without a friend who betrayed another. It's a simple thing. You can't practice Christianity and say you are betraying people. How? When the core of Christianity was the betrayal of the Savior in the hands of men. So, this is a friend who will still appear as a friend. You take your calls, record them, wants to use it against you. All he must have told the soldiers was, you want to get him? He said, you know that Jesus man, he can disappear. He saw it, he disappear. I know him very well. Yes, it's true. I saw you. You were sitting in front, a pastor. Not just in front. I even preached at the camp meeting. It's true. You even laid hands on me. Exactly. Amen. I know him very well. Let me tell you, there was a day like that. Do you know that he farts? Oh, you don't think Jesus farted? With the power of God, himself. So he farts. He snores. He was so tired one day. I was the one that actually had to even help him put his leg. No, forget it. So you want him? You want him? Talk to me. So they made someone who was highly seen ordinary. That is what betrayal does. So there are two things you can do. If you are close to someone, either your husband, your wife, your friend, your pastor, true friendship is that through you, people respect the person. Anyone who makes people respect you less is not a good friend. Are you following what I'm saying? So, familiarity should never, for a believer, breed contempt. Never. If that believer is walking in the Spirit, familiarity should breed honor. Are you following what I'm saying? I've taught you this about grace. When you understand, we saw something yesterday, we were looking at Matthew, that they included moral failures in the lineage of Jesus. And the guy you will say was both a murderer, and call him also an adulterer, and more than that, was the one that Jesus quoted the most was his death. And he said, Jesus is called more of this as a son of David than the son of Abraham. In other words, there is a way to be a good friend. Be a good friend. There was I come to this because I have things to say. Praise the Lord. Hope you are learning from this. Look at John 18. I want you to observe a key element of these betrayals. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden in the which he entered and disciples. This was like a private place for them. They didn't come to take Jesus, they went to a private place, like your home, like a house where a few people know, or knew. Let's take verse 2 together, let's go. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with who? Do you see it now? So they highlighted it for you to see it. So Jesus deliberately chose those 12 people, because he wanted to keep his own secrets. He chose the 3 and the 1.
So that is what betrayal is.
Let me see if I follow what I'm saying here.
See it. Within the story of human wickedness is betrayal.
Betrayal for money, fame, betrayal so that you can get out of trouble. None of them is godly.
So a true friend will be faithful even if there is a fallout. Don't because you now disagree. Okay, there's a divorce, a breakup. Then what you got to know because of privilege, you now use it against the person. You are evil. You are evil. Learn to keep things. Learn to keep things.
Praise the Lord.
Now, let's go further. So we said in every relationship, we're going to take this one by one. Number one, you examine in your choices, look at compatibility, which is, who is this person?
I'm talking about according to God's word. Then you communicate. The kind of communication.
Then you look at spirituality.
So also works with compatibility.
Then you must also observe natural appetites. Some natural appetites can lead to sin. So observe that. And since friendship brings influence, you cannot overlook it. Then finally, and this is the part that many of us fail, and I also myself, is you need to know that every friendship must be tested and proven. Every friendship must be tested and proven. Let's see Matthew 1. Are you learning something? Talk to me. Are you learning something? All right. Matthew 1. Now, this is the example of two folks. Now, in the Jewish culture, before you marry, formally, you have what you call a formal engagement. It's called a betrothal, where the person is handed over, but there's no consummation yet. So there's another ceremony that goes after. So that period between when the, of course, we have structured it the way there's, I think we do traditional and all of that, but this is a very different culture. Now, Mary and Joseph, you know, had that kind of a relationship. And imagine your wife-to-be comes up and says, I want to tell you something. What is it? What is it? I said, please, what is it? Say, I missed my period. I said, that's a medical condition. Because you know you've never had sex. I say, Mary, no. And then he says, no, I'm actually saying I'm pregnant.
For who?
You know? And then he's trying to open the Bible and he says, she's doing all the exegesis, you're saying? This girl is stupid. Was I born yesterday? Like, but even if it was yesterday, it was not last night. I'm going to tell you this story, Isaiah 7:14. Did you mention your name? Did Isaiah coach you?
See, yeah.
In fact, the Greek, the Hebrew word of that virgin is young woman. So don't come and don't come. See, I know what I'm saying. The angel, you, do you see angel? You know, but this is what happened. But there was something he did that brings out the value of friendship. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that was key, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Did you see that? He didn't agree. Do you understand? It's not that he didn't agree. If he had agreed, that would come up. He didn't agree. He didn't believe her.
And do you believe him? Do you blame him? Would you have believed it?
Holy Ghost, which Holy Ghost? Come on, say another story.
I knew it. That guy in your class. I warned you. Ha. Joe, I can tell you.
I know he's not the kind of guy who would make noise. This guy would say, ah! He must adjust me. You know, those guys are very quiet and they are boiling. After you have finished talking, what do you say about what? I'm telling you, a guy goes, I'll see you later. But you know what? You know, being a just man, he says he did not want to make a public show. Even though there's Deuteronomy 24 verse 1, which looks like adultery, when you look at, because they are not fully married, but is almost done. He doesn't do that. He wants to secretly go to the judge. That's how it is done. There are two options. You can do it publicly and go to the judge and say, you know, I'm not doing it again. And they'll give you a legal basis to separate. You know, and we're in a world where people want to, there's just a thing about promo, making noise. Must you make noise? I mean, must you make noise? Let me ask you a question. If you had gone out, uncle, I want to talk to you. Don't tell anybody. Told this friend, told that friend, or in his anger and surprise, put it as a DP status. No matter what the angel came to say after, will I believe the first story? So what made it secret, and for the sake of the gospel, was the fact that Joseph handled it well, even when he did not agree. Ah! I can't take it. There you go, on one block. Tell it all. Say your mind. Say it. The title of the blog is Say It. Where people are unburdening their hearts. My name is Olusegun Onoyinka. I was engaged to Mary, a supposed pastor, called, That's how she came yesterday. He said, I have a sister like that in my church. They'll start commenting. Before you know it, 1,000 comments. Then, what do you think the angel has said after? Joe. You have spoiled the market. But because he was patient and discreet, a whole lot of more information came. You can't get good out of evil. You can't get the right things out of the wrong thing. When you're already impatient. He did not want to make a digmatizo of her. A public show. What is in Colossians 2:15? The word digmatizo, D-I-G-M-A-T-I-Z-O, is from the word digma, D-I-G-M-A, a specimen. Now, observe what he did not do. He was not condoning it. Are you following this? He was not encouraging it, but he was not ready to bring her down. Did you see the difference? You can correct something without making a public show of it. You can show your disaffection of something without showing, without making it a show. Pay attention. And I'm saying this to couples. I'm saying this to friends. I'm saying this to ministers. There are things. What are you telling people for? Someone called me some 7 years ago. And someone else. The person was very close to a minister who was meant to go through a divorce. Now it wasn't public. At all. People didn't even know anything was going on. So as the call started, I said, hold on. If you tell me this story that you're about to say, do I have access to that pastor to go and talk to him? He said, no. So what are you telling me for? He said, we can pray. I said, I don't need details to pray. I have Ephesians 1, 17 to 20. I don't need those details to pray. Because if you tell me what I don't need to know, or what I can't do anything with, you have only given me gist. I said there are people who can talk to the two of them, that are way senior, that you should go to. So, That is discretion. Because you see, anytime you hear a story about anybody, no matter how spiritual you are, it will affect your relationship. Be blazing with torch in the Holy Ghost. Eh? Your mind works like our own. You process information, eh? And every time you see that person, it's suspicion that you are going to have. So this man Joseph was very discreet. Very discreet about it. He did not condone it. Don't forget it. He didn't condone it. But he wasn't going to make a public show of it. It's not, Christians are not known for, the only one will hear, except the gospel. That's not a Christian. Christians are not known to go and be doing confession on YouTube. What's that for? The Bible says if you offend another, James 5 says, confess your faults one to another, that is, to the person, not to the world. All this getting a microphone and facing the church and talking is nowhere in the Bible. Even the Catholics created a box. You won't be seen and you will not see. Only words will be heard. I've never been there before. I was just told. So Jesus had friends. And he was betrayed. The fact that you are no longer going to marry somebody, just like Mary and Joseph, doesn't mean you should betray them. Do you understand that? Betrayal is a sin. It's highly treasonable. Don't betray people. Just watch that. The closer you get to people, it's very likely you will know things about them. Sometimes there are things they are working on in God's word. Brother Higgin told a story one time that every time I remember it, it gets me thinking. That he saw a guy going into a dark alley. Now, America, when you say dark alley, means they are going to do drugs and stuff like that. And the guy was a minister. So he told himself, if he knew better, he would go that place. And he was criticizing. And then the Lord asked him a question. Why are you criticizing him? He said, the guy should do this, 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 this. You know, some of us are very hypocritical judges. He said, the Lord told him that, you know why I won't listen to you? If you were in his shoes, you'd have done worse. I think about that a lot. Many times, you are only mouthing what you are saying because you are not in that person's shoes. That is one. Two, you know, said the Lord asked him, how did you know that he did not stop and went home without going inside? He said, God now showed him a vision that the guy actually stopped along the line and went back home. There are many things you don't know. So don't act like you are all knowing. Have you seen people say, I know him very well, when you are yet to know yourself very well? I know that guy very well. How do you know somebody very well? Are you God? Always say, to the level of what I know. You can't know somebody very, very well. Even the man you have married, you can't know him very, very well. And the woman you have married. But what you have known, be grateful. Amen. Alright. So Judas is not the kind of person you should be like. Tell the person beside you, say, don't be like Judas. Say it well. Uh-huh. So as you are confessing who you are in Christ, say, I'm not a Judas. Uh-huh. Betray your friends. Don't do it. He went to his enemies. He went to those that were going to kill him. He knew. He went to those that were going to destroy him. You already know that they were bringing down his reputation. Why did you go to them? I like what a friend said. He said, it doesn't start with giving them a story. It starts with association. What was he doing with them? I tell my friends, when I'm your friend, close your eyes. Go and sleep. Nobody can have access to you through me. It can't happen. Not a single person. I have a friend like that, a younger friend that stopped receiving me because he picked the call was about to tell me something about another preacher I relate very closely with. I said, stop. Are you about to discuss this? He said, no. You don't know me. Oh. I do see no evil, hear no evil. He said, but won't you hear me out? I said, whether in or out, I'm not going to hear you. I said, whatever you have seen that needs correction, pray about it. Will you not be answered? Don't you believe in effective answer prayer? He said, I do. I pray. Whatever is even paining you, talk to Jesus. It is even paining you for the body of Christ, talk to the head. I know what Jesus have done to people. I didn't start missing last night. Even if it was last night, it was not too late. Hallelujah. So Jesus had the 12. Who are your 12? Who are your 3? Even amongst those that you disciple, who is the one? The 12, the 3, and then the 1. Peter was very unique. Let's see the uniqueness. Probably you never saw it. After that, Matthew 16, of course, there's a story that he was the eldest. Very plausible. Then after the Matthew 16, where he said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. In Matthew 28, Matthew records that he went to see the 12. Matthew 28, verse 10. Tell my brethren that they go unto the Galilee, there they shall see me. Now, Luke brings out an important element. Luke 24, verse 34. Okay, verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them they were with him. Let's read verse 34 together. Saying, the Lord is risen, and appeared to who? Appeared to who? Simon. Okay. Look at John. John 21. So, obviously, Jesus appeared to Peter differently. That is being a faithful friend. He appeared to him differently. Okay, I wanted to say Mark 16, verse 7, before you get to John 21. Let's take it together. Mark 16, 7, let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Well, go your way. That's the angel now. Tell his disciples and Peter. Can you see Peter was singled out? Tell his disciples and Peter. John 21. He spoke to Peter separately. John 21, verse 15 through to 18, in fact, through to 23. In 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul was talking about those who saw Jesus in the resurrection, he singled out Peter. He appeared, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15, was seen of Peter, then of the 12. So, you must have such distinction in friendships. You should know who is around before you start talking. Is that clear? It's only a fool who says everything everywhere. Let me say this. Stop right and listen to me. I know we're in the social media age. Don't use social media to relate with your friends. What am I saying? Do not fight friends. In fact, if you are going to argue, watch it on social media. Don't let social media destroy godly relationships. Did you hear me? Always know who is around. If I'm going to speak to you as a friend and I want to say something that I didn't like, I will observe who is around me.
Either it's one-on-one or people that I know that we are of the same breed. Don't talk anyhow, anywhere.
Now, what I'm saying incorporates every kind of dear relationships. Marital, even if it's business, but your closest business ally. I'll be careless before. And I won't be that way again. Because when you lose a friend, it's very hard to win them back. Relationships are built on trust. Trust doesn't mean everything is fine. It just means I can rely on you. Relationships are built on trust. And when do I need your trust the most? When I don't seem to measure up. That's when I need your trust. So, relationships are built on the fabric of trust. You have to watch who is there. Who is there? If you use a 50 naira data to ruin a very expensive relationship, you will regret it. In fact, the more dear people are to you, the slower you should be to react. A lot of, so I say, don't be sentimental. That's a foolish statement. Life is sentimental. Your believing in Jesus is your own sentiment. Others don't believe in him. Anybody asking you to always be objective is being stupid. I can't always be objective. So this guy is my man. Do you understand my point? How can I be always objective? I can't be, when we are together, I will be objective with you. You get my point? I can talk to you, make for you. I can say everything as you say. But when we are with Pilate, the Pharisees, even with the 70, you know that Peter's denial, Jesus did not say anything about it. And the way, there was a way he communicated in John 21. You don't even ask him. Lord, hey, that Peter, did he finally deny you? He did. Hey, when? Brethren. You didn't ask him. As a good friend, make it difficult for people to ask you some questions. So be careful. Say it all. Tweet it. Say children of anger. They can say what's on their mind. Don't be objective. Oh. The woman you married, the man you married, are you objective? And when you now get married, you now start lying. The most beautiful woman in the world. You know you are lying and God says it's not a sin. Because if you're objective, she can't be the most beautiful. You yourself, you know. That's why you get tempted. Where are you from in your office? The most brilliant person in the world. You're the most intelligent. Did she win Nobel Prize? You are only just being sentimental and is allowed. You are here out of sentiment. So we don't speak in tongues. So don't say, I'm being objective. No! Your faith is not objective. You chose to believe in Jesus despite doubts in your mind. That means you are faithful and you are loyal to his cause. It's simple. Just follow what I'm saying, Miss Afton. Be a good friend. John 15. Who is the friend? A friend knows what you are doing. That guy is my very good friend. Listen very well, but we have not seen him in 10 years. Did you hear yourself? Very good friend. He doesn't know where you live. Very good friend. That guy, very good friend. We are tight like this. What's his name again? We have so used that word loosely. That we don't even know what it means. John 15, a servant, verse 15, doesn't know what his master does, but not a friend. I called you friends because I showed you what my father is doing. A friend knows. So friendship is built on people you can share information with. Mark 4:11, Matthew 13:11, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are without it is not given. People that you can explain those things to. Always know those that you can talk to. Hear me well. Information is power. When you give out information, just like God's word, you have given yourself out. How were they able to arrest Jesus? Information. Information that a friend had. Information is power. Always know those you spoke to. You should be able to say who you talked to. If you can't tell us who you spoke to about anything, then you are a careless person. Who did you tell? So that when an information goes out, you know who did it. Because you are sensible and discreet with the things that you say. The 12, pay attention, had the information. In Proverbs 25 verse 19, Solomon says, confidence, let's take it together, Proverbs 25, 19. Say, I'm a good friend. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm a faithful friend. Proverbs 25, 19, let's take it together. Everybody, let's go. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and foot apple. Have you ever had a broken tooth before? I have. Or a foot out of joint. Yeah, like this. You become ineffective. An unfaithful person. So you watch that. Information is important. 1 Corinthians 2:8. For the prince of this world did not know it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. The Bible therefore calls the gospel a mysterion, that which requires explanation. Eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The things that God has given to them are prepared for them that love him. God therefore put everything about him in his spirit. Without faith in the gospel, you don't know him. Simple. That is the same thing with you. God sent Jesus to die for the whole world, but that information is only accessible by faith. Relationships, therefore, must be built by faith. Faith in the person is when you believe in the person, or the person believes in you. God's word is such like that. He put all he has in his spirit. God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. What things knoweth the things of a man? 1 Corinthians 2:11. But the spirit of man which is in him. So the things of God knows no man. But what? The spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of this world, verse 12, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, the things which we teach, not in the wisdom which man teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not know the things of the spirit of God. He can't receive the things of the spirit of God. He doesn't know them. He can't tell them because they are spiritually discerned. That is God. Amen. He died for people in Christ Jesus. Yet, you have to have faith to know it. Faith, therefore, is a vital ingredient in commencing relationships. Where there is no faith, there can't be a godly, valid, godly, effective relationship. There has to be faith for there to be an effective relationship. Are you learning something? This is God in his resurrection. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, you have hidden these things from the verse, Matthew 11, let's see that quickly. You have hidden these things, verse 25, 26, 27, from the wisdom, from the wise and the prudent, you reveal them unto babes. And we've explained that it's not that God hides. No. You have to believe him to know what he's saying. When you don't believe, then it is hidden from you. So where there is no faith and no trust, there shouldn't be information. You do understand that? There has to be faith. It's faith that accesses God's word. Pistuo, trust, believe, to rely upon. Then you have access to the information. So watch the people you put in the 70, then the 12, then the 3, and who is the Peter? And so where a fellow is not trustworthy, he shouldn't have access. It's simple. Know that information is power. It's important. Anyone who knows you has you. That's simple. And that is what the essence of sexual intercourse is supposed to be. It should be intimate so that the person knows you. That's why yada is used for it in Genesis chapter 4. Anyone who knows you has you. That is, God gave us his word and we have him. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. So, watch those around you. Know who is around you. Not everybody can be the friend of the pastor. Not everybody can be your friend. What I mean by that, I mean those in the inner caucus. Not everybody can be there. Jesus wasn't like that. Paul wasn't like that. It's as simple as that. Information is there for power. Say that again. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel had gone to Saul and he had said to Saul, you can't be king again. And he saw Saul's reaction. Saul said, all right, no problem. I don't mind not being king, but you know what? Don't put it on Facebook. Put it there that I'm still anointed Saul. Or else. Now, Samuel is smart enough. It will be some overzealous guy. What? I'll tell everybody. Then you lose your life. He said, no problem. Should we to hold you like this? Let's take pictures. My God. Let's preserve the ministry. He goes and God says, why are you crying over Saul? I picked him. Now I was the one that told him to go to the guys of the prophet in 1 Samuel 10. Stop weeping. I've chosen somebody else. Who? He says, in the house of Jesse. Jesse who? He's an unknown guy. An unknown guy. He's thinking, you want to pick someone you now pick from the house of who? A guy that has sheep. He will kill us with one soldier. And you know, it's so funny today, as you are going, you say, the prophet is going somewhere. Some people, they don't say, yes, sir. I saw, Pastor Susan, I saw, before you know everybody has known the prophet is going to the house of Jesse. So he told God, if Saul should know I'm going to the house of Jesse and not the king, I'm dead meat. And God is saying, go. I know who I am. Don't be stupid. God says, say you're going to worship. That wasn't a lie. He went to worship amongst the worship of God. Worship is obedience. So in obeying God, I anointed the king. God is saying, go! My angel is there. Many of us have been that stupid. God conceals information from the wicked. When Jesus was born, he showed a star that everybody did not see. He spoke to Mary and spoke to Joseph, and outside those two, nobody knew what was going on. So I was like, going out, Mophra, Lega, the Gadiga. It has happened. It is happening. You know, Herod killed 2 years down. He will have killed those in the womb. You know, he killed 2 years down. That's why he said, woke up. And I see that which is within you. He's of God. And then he put it on Facebook. A prophecy came forth. May 4. And I spoke forth. And Herod will have said, go and get all the pregnant women. Yeah. He concealed it. The wise men came. They still eat from Herod. Said, come back, The girl said, don't go back to him. No, sir, I have to honor my word. Lord, you have to honor. We told Herod we are coming back. We have to honor my word. You know, when somebody is evil, he starts to try to look like he's good. I want to say it in Yoruba. You know you want to say, then all of a sudden they say, no, you know, we have to be very honest. And their honesty is to expose others and harm them. Some guys are like, the only time they are honest is when they want to destroy people. You know me, I don't like, you know, I just go straight to the point. It's a lie. These guys did not go. And immediately, Joseph! Interesting, there's a Joseph who dreams in Genesis, this one also dreams. Just be careful of those who bear Joseph. Joseph, take the child now. And he say, don't worry. Put the child there. Nothing will happen. He said, run. I'm not sure he told his neighbor, God just, you know, not Jesus is Christ. Did you know? He didn't know. He should have known now. He's Christ. So, the wise men came, but somehow, you know, we have to run away from, but it's tomorrow morning. So I'm just going to, information is what? They were in Egypt. Imagine it was Facebook. As you are entering the plane. Egypt Air. Even Jesus for 30 years did not say who he was. Brother Hagin is a man that I look up to. There was a story he normally talks about, how he was born, how God called him when he was in his mother's womb. You know, he was taken for dead. In fact, they were going to bury him when they found out he was alive. They said he was not up to the size of a comb. They had dug the ground and they said, I think this thing is moving. That's Kenneth Hagin. Now, oftentimes he used to tell the story of what Jesus told the mother. But I've read all the books, he never was conclusive. The child will be born. He won't die. And say, then it's very inconclusive. 2 years before he passed on, he now concluded the story. Sometimes it's just wise. And when he had done that, he had fulfilled everything that was said to the mom. Sometimes it's just good to be quiet. It's just good. Some of us talk too much. And watch this. He hid. So that means Satan can be deceived. I'm using a literal term. You can actually scope Satan. You can, now, I remember when I was young, don't let me tell you this one, so that you won't go and use it. But you look at some very key moments in history, when Moses was to be born, and Pharaoh asked them to kill all the children. And the midwives did not. They preserved a life. Some say, no, it's a lie. No, it's not a lie. It's faith in God. That's why they hid the child. They kept the information away. When Rahab also preserved those who entered into the land, two critical moments, Moses and then Joshua into the promised land, again Rahab said, it's this way and that way. Preserve the lives of the spies. It was called faithfulness in God. Discretion with information. Information is power. Hebrews 11 calls it faith. God therefore is looking for friends. Those midwives were his friends. Rahab was his friend. Samuel was his friend. I must therefore learn to be a good friend. And know how to conceal things. I'm not saying keep secrets of evil and all of that. I'm basically just saying, know how to hide an information from those that would hurt others. That's just the wisdom of God.
In Acts 9, Paul was let down through the basket and they came for him, but he was gone. In Acts 12, Peter also had to go the other way because they were after him. A friend has to be friendly. Therefore, in premarital relationships, watch how your proposee, your proposalee, how does he or she treat information? How does he or she treat relationships? Very key things. Is this person friendly or not? In marriage, you are going to have a relationship that will, for example, bring in the need for a friend, a leader, a neighbor, an associate, a citizen. But above all, a friend. James 2:23, Abraham of all things was also called a friend. So I'll say it this way. Be friendly, okay? And also choose your friends wisely. Be friendly and choose your friends wisely. Jesus was called friend of sinners. Don't ever forget that. You know, just like that. But that's different from his friends. He was friendly with sinners, loved them, showed them affection. But he had those that were his partners, his associates, those that were in his inner caucus. Acts 1 tells us who they were. Always have a check of those who have this kind of access to you. Acts 1:21, who have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Who, from the baptism of John to the day he was taken out. Let me add this. You know true friends who, or the kind of friends in choosing friends, who are there at critical moments. Moments of divine wisdom, or say divine work, the work of the Spirit. Friends who were there. I don't want to have a friend who wasn't around when God called me to ministry, or who's not around when God gives me instructions for ministry. How do we become my friend? What are we going to share? Bottom of John, the resurrection. Key things. Not a flimsy friendship. So that means my values frame my friendship. What do I value the most? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I do value the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I must add this one. I like Nigeria. I do love Nigeria. I can't be friends with someone that hates Nigeria. I love Nigeria. I got born again here. I got born here, number one, anyway. So I have to be born again here. I got called to ministry here. I got married here. So our church is here. I learned the word of God here. I schooled here. I love Nigeria. Yeah, I do. That's me. That's not you. You may love Russia. Your choice. But look at the key things. The call of God upon my life. What God wants to do through me. Who was where? The baptism of John and the resurrection. Key moments that shapes friendships. Don't bring flimsy relationships and reframe them into serious relationships. There are some guys all who talk about his sports. What's up? Ronaldo. We argue. We love Ronaldo against Messi. We talk about sports. Then we now start saying that, you know, a husband must not... Hold on. Now, we are talking for sports, I beg. Don't bring that inside. An academic guy. We discuss academics. Very brilliant. Now we have to make friends with them. The guy, after teaching you what to teach, and say, you know, when it comes to prayer, hold on. Stick to the book. Context. Then let's go that far. Business. We talk business. My two most admirable mentors in business were Muslims. Not were, are Muslims. Practicing was who?
What PhD holder? Who is a professor? Muslims. Just like your teacher in school was not born again. So don't look at me and say, ah, pastor. Your business mentor should be apostle prophet. So that you give me prophecy. And I'll lose all the contracts. Two. One of them took me around the nations of Africa and showed me some die-hard business grit. You know? You know? And I'm not even by seeing them, just by what they do and how they go around it. But that's where it stops. And they know, pastor. But one of them will share scriptures with me. Very, very intelligent person. He used to quote Bible a lot. Some of you know him. Very, very intelligent. He's a man that used to review Wallace Oyinka's books. You know what that means? Very, very brilliant. By the age of 22, he had a PhD in nuclear physics. Yeah. Let me stop there. So that you know the name. Well, he's the son of one of Nigeria's past leaders. Very brilliant. Extremely brilliant. He will quote scripture. He used to quote scripture better than I do. Muslim. Extremely. But that's where it stops. How do you run church? Oh God. You see, they are both C company church. Please, put O after the C. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Always have a relationship control. The same way your parents, as much as you are fond of each other, must not start dictating your spiritual life, except they are proper models, spiritually speaking. Are you following what I'm talking about? Always have a relationship control. This is an academic business. We have Arsenal friends who are diehard, and I have football enemies who are my brothers in Christ. I have those who are friends who are not even Christians. I have enemies of the faith. Jakes is not an enemy. Is this serious enemy? Jakes is, he's just there. I have enemies. Football enemies. But, you know, just sports, business, other things. You know, but I guard and protect all that relationship. Ensure that it doesn't drift to become my own values as a Christian. So what are the key moments of your life? Your friends must be there. The key things. The critical things. Same way, do not marry or even get close enough for the person to propose to you. Anybody who doesn't value those things. People who won't value the word now, won't value it because they are married to you. Don't make that stupid mistake. Except you don't value the word. So we have someone like David and Jonathan. Jonathan says to David, you have my throne. That's a friend. Have my throne. People even try to suggest that they were homosexuals because that's too much. That's friendship. Who value what David valued? We valued what David valued. A friend cannot be somebody who repeats mistakes. Some of us here will keep losing friends because we are like witches. When you start on a matter like this, in 10 years' time, you are still talking about it. Let's see the Bible. Proverbs 17. Are you learning something? Now, I don't expect you to walk to somebody after the service. Now, I know you are not my friend. You start being a good friend first. Proverbs 17, 19. Are you there? So, 17, 9. Let's take it together. 17, 9. Let's go. He that covers a transgression seeks what? But he that repeats a matter separates friends.
nagging.
You are always, you can't keep friends when you are always on, that day, but I said sorry, I know, but you think you didn't blame me?
You can't have friends that way.
Repeat a matter. Proverbs 10:12. Let's close from here. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all sins. Proverbs 16 and 28. Let's take that one together. Proverbs 16:28. Let's go. A forward man sows strife. A whisperer separates. So you have a responsibility to keep your friends. 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let's close by saying that can friends fail? Yes, they can. Friends can drop the ball. Peter dropped the ball. John dropped the ball. Thomas dropped the ball. But Jesus gave them another chance. They didn't betray him. They just fell short in human weakness and frailty. Jesus still gave them the great commission to go and preach. We'll see all of that. So sometimes friends can fall short and still make it back. You can give people a chance. You can give people a chance in marriage. You can give people a chance in your relationships. Some of my closest allies today, we had things that I felt really bad. But if you are going to keep doing that and never give people a second chance, not betrayers, people that just drop the ball, you know, you can't have friends. Learn to have that space in your heart for people's weaknesses, where they might fail. Where you had an expectation for them, they didn't meet up. But you know what? When he gave them that chance, they actually paid it back well. All of them died for him. So friendship can go through tests. Relationships can go through tests. Don't call off a relationship quickly because, you know, every little thing, marriage, you know, things can happen. But always know that love does not just build, love also rebuilds. I can be a good friend. What about you? I can nurture relationships and make them effective. Amen.